This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time now for our weekly Africa update. And as ever, the continent is brimming with news. Trouble continues in the West, in Nigeria, Africa's top oil exporter, and soldiers on the rampage in Guinea, plus more mayhem in the East, in Somalia. And in the South, Zimbabwe gets to chair a major United Nations agency, despite strong objections. For more, we're joined by NPR's Africa correspondent, Afebia Quist-Arkton. She's in Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos. Hi, Afebia.
Hello. Greetings from Lagos. Bustling, bustling Lagos.
Yes, I want to get there sometime. So you're in Nigeria and you've been on assignment in the Niger Delta in the South. What did you find on the ground?
Not especially good news. I mean, just today we hear that the Ogoni people, and they're one of the smaller tribes in the Niger Delta, have managed to sabotage Shell oil production by 170,000 barrels. Now, that seems to be an issue all over the Niger Delta. You have people in this region saying that despite Nigeria's oil wealth being pumped in their very backyards, they are not benefiting from all this bounty. And you have militants who have vowed to cripple the oil industry, to drive out foreign oil companies until the government agrees to negotiate. The outgoing government of President Olusegun Obasanjo has called them rascals and criminals, these militants, and they're well armed, they're well organized, and they are well prepared. But the incoming new administration, which takes office at the end of the month, seems to be a little better disposed towards the militants and the people of the Niger Delta, because President-elect Umaru Aradua has said that this issue is a priority and one that he will deal with. And the incoming vice president-elect, Goodluck Jonathan, actually comes from the region, from the Delta. So there is hope that things will move. But till then, the sabotage campaign continues, the kidnapping of local and foreign oil workers, the mayhem in the Delta.
Well, that definitely has been going on for years. Now let's move to Guinea. Talk about what's been going on with the labor unions.
Well, in January and February, it was the labor unions who led the street protests and civilians who said, enough, we're tired of repression, we're tired of the government of former military general Lansana Conte, we want change, we want a prime minister who will represent all Guineans, a neutral consensus prime minister. And it was the soldiers who cracked down on the civilians. There were more than 100 deaths. Now it's the soldiers who are saying, we're fed up, we want better pay, we want better conditions, and now they are challenging the government of President Lansana Conte. And as I say, he's a former military general himself. So suddenly we see the tables turned round. First the civilians against the government, and now the soldiers saying enough is enough. We want to be paid better. We want better conditions. And this is to their own man, so to speak. And they have forced it so much that the army commander has been replaced and retired. But the soldiers say, but you brought back in one of the old guard, a retired general. That's not who we want. We want proper, lasting changes. So things are a little tough for Lansana Conte. And there's been looting. There's been all sorts of bedlam on the streets of Conakry and other cities.
Somalia. Since the Ethiopian-backed interim government troops marched into the capital back in December, there has not been any peace. There's been more fighting recently. What's the situation?
Not good at all, Farai. I mean, the UN estimates that between 300,000 and 400,000 people have fled the capital Mogadishu in recent weeks since the fighting in April and against last month. And now survivors are beginning to tell really gruesome stories about the gunfire and the shelling and the fact that the Ethiopian-backed Somali government troops have been taken on by these once powerful Islamic courts union. I mean, listen to this Mogadishu resident, Abdulaziz Hassan Ahmed. He's 23 and he's just lived from crisis to crisis in Somalia.
This was the worst war we have ever seen, because I've seen many people dying, many people displacing. Everything in Somalia have been destroyed, whether it is the social service programs, whether it is other basic infrastructures for the people's life. So I can say life here is very difficult.
And Farai, you hear how the hospitals are full to overflowing, how the medical staff are completely overstretched. I mean, listen to Sheikh Dan Silad Ilme. He's the director of Medina Hospital in Mogadishu.
The hospital was overwhelmed by casualties. We received 4 months old children, their legs amputated by the shelling, and we received a lot of old people, 90 years old women. Most of them were civilians, and we were very, very sad, actually, and sometimes we have to cry because we seemed helpless.
That is definitely a just wrenching situation. What is the update on Ethiopia's prime minister and the troops in Somalia?
Well, just today, Melissa now with the Ethiopian prime minister is saying that he wants to withdraw his troops, and they've been backing Somalia's weak interim government. I mean, all sorts of people are saying now is not the moment. I mean, there will be absolute mayhem in Somalia if that happens. The African Union Commission chairman has said it, and this talk of a proxy war in Somalia between Ethiopia and its regional rival Eritrea, but even the US Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Jendayi Fraser, is concerned about the Somalia situation.
Well, I think the problem with the withdrawal of Ethiopian troops now is that it would leave security vacuum, and that many feel that in order for the Ethiopians to leave, there needs to be a deployment of the African Union forces known as AMISOM. So I think that it would be a mistake for Ethiopia to withdraw. That said, we certainly would want them to withdraw from Somalia as soon as possible.
Another story that we've been tracking, and you and I have talked about after your reporting trip, is Zimbabwe. It seemed to pull off something of a diplomatic coup this weekend.
Indeed, because Zimbabwe has been elected to head the UN's Commission on Sustainable Development, the CSD, and that's despite really strong objections from Western diplomats, including Washington. And they said Zimbabwe was simply unsuitable because of its own lamentable human rights record and its economic problems. And we're talking about inflation running at more than 2,000% and shortages of fuel, of food, of foreign exchange, you know, everything seems to be going wrong in Zimbabwe. But the African partners of Zimbabwe said, look, stop dictating to us. We are going to nominate Zimbabwe. And they voted. And look what's happened. I mean, President Robert Mugabe must really been cocking a snoop, not just at Washington, but at London and all those who have criticised him and put his government under sanctions. But a lot of people say, how is Zimbabwe and how are these ministers, because they are under these targeted sanctions, going to be able to travel to do this job? That it's absolutely ludicrous. But they lost in the end.
So last but not least, we head to space.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Launch command now.
So we have liftoff. China launched a Nigerian satellite which should improve communications across Africa. Is this a great step forward for the continent?
Well, it should be, because, of course, you know that technology on this continent can be very, very dodgy depending on where you are. Now, the Nigerian communication satellite is expected to offer broadcasting, telecommunications and, crucially, broadband internet services for Africa. Now, I suppose people in the US might think, well, broadband, hey, that's almost history, but not on this continent. Things like this are so important, and it's the latest evidence of this growing economic cooperation between China and Africa. You know, China is buying raw materials from Africa, the minerals, the oil, all sorts of things. And people are saying, well, China seems to be doing some positive things. Certainly Africa thinks it's good. What China's rivals in the West think is another thing altogether.
Afebia, as usual, fantastic to have you on.
Always a pleasure.
That was Afebia Quist-Arkton, one of NPR's Africa correspondents, speaking to us from Lagos, Nigeria.